Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest is the mayor of Linden, New Jersey, Derek Armstead. Derek Armstead is the 14th mayor of Linden, New Jersey. His family lived in the city since 1926. He made history as the first Black mayor of Linden, New Jersey. Armstead was elected to the Linden City Council, serving the constituents of the 4th Ward from 1993 to 2014. Since assuming office in 2015, the Armstead administration has established and stabilized taxes for 5 consecutive years in a row, having zero increases. And they have established fast food chains. Linden has become a hub of employment and a home for many. June 2021, Linden Police Department began deploying body cameras technology for use worn by uniform and plainclothes officers. Armstead is a firm believer of putting children first. He started the Armstead Scholarship Fund, offering scholarships to graduating high school students and seniors. Mayor Armstead hosted several food distributions for Linden residents beginning March 2020. A job readiness program was being offered at the very young age. His grandparents, Linden Democratic Councilwoman Jimmy Lee Armstead and Linden Democrat Committee Henry Creed Armstead, taught him that government exists to serve the people, not just as privilege. Mayor Armstead, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad you could have me.
Yes, I'm glad. Now, I found you, before I begin, I found you at the Linden House Festival, where you had one of my favorite DJs, Louis Vega, performed. So that's what brought me out there. And he was impressed that the mayor was having this house festival. So tell us about the origins of your house festival. I believe that was the 4th one that you held.
Yes. Well, a few years back, a gentleman by the name of Eric Clark came to me and he said he would like to have a house music festival. And we'd had a number of different events in town. We just hadn't had anything quite like that. And so I told him, listen, let's try it out. We'll give it a shot. And we did. And the first year was a little slow, but we kind of built it up and built it and built it. And now it's turned out to be one of the, I would say, one of the top house music festivals throughout the state. As we've become renowned and known for our festival.
Yes, and your food, because I was there to get especially one of my favorite fishes, a whiting sandwich, so that was good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have a number of vendors who come out every year, and they do an excellent job with their food, and we've become known for that as well. We have everything from ribs to fish to tacos, you name it. We try to encourage people to come out and support the event. And the people who come to the event support those vendors.
That's very good. So listen, how did you become the mayor of Linden, New Jersey?
It's a long story. If you could believe this, and I tell everybody, you know, pay attention to my journey. And you have to really, I tell people who are in power sometime, don't become bullies, because sometime the very person you bully may come back and he may not run. He may decide to stay and fight. You know, I had been in government, like you said, since 1993. I served as a councilman. And quite honestly, you know, when you get in politics, you're really excited. You have a lot of energy and you want to really do the right thing. You want to add value to your city. You want to bring up your community. You want to make sure that the education system is better, jobs, employment. All those things are very important when you become a council person. And at some point in my career, I began to question what I was doing as a council person. I came here with all the best intentions, and I just didn't see the type of progress in my city that I thought should that we should have. And I decided that I was going to, because I couldn't put time into my career and be a councilman also, I decided that I was going to really get out of politics. And I think the only thing I wanted was one last thing, was a picture with all my children with my hand on the Bible being sworn in. And that was in 2010. That was a position called Council President Pro Tem that the most senior guy on council gets. So a week prior to the reorganization meeting, the top Democrat in town came to me and asked me, was I going to support him in his bid for mayor? And me jokingly said to him, well, I don't even know who's running. And he was the council president at the time. And he took it upon himself at the January reorganization meeting not to give me the position of council president pro tem, which is a position that you get sworn in for. And I really wanted to see myself get sworn in. I wanted that picture with my children because I was really contemplating on getting out. And then he did the unthinkable. He broke tradition because I didn't commit to saying I was going to support him. He didn't give me the position of council president pro tem, which always went to the most senior guy in council. It was like kind of like an honorable thing we had amongst ourselves that we wouldn't be fighting over it. We said always the most senior guy gets that position. So that led me out. That led me down a path to I said I'm going to run for council president. And then some of my closest people, my wife and some friends, told me, why are you going to parade through town running for council president? Just run for mayor. And so I put a team together, a running mate, a guy by the name of James Moore, my wife, my 12-year-old daughter, and five of her friends. And we went about the business of running for mayor of Lynden, New Jersey. And at the end of the evening, I got a call from my opponent congratulating me on my victory. We didn't have enough people on staff to go down and get the vote count from City Hall.
Wow.
So we won the primary.
Real grassroots.
Very grassroots. No money. We beat the organization with $5,000. And there was close to $160,000 spent by the opposition, by the machine. But the story gets better because I go on to that November and thinking the Democratic organization was going to get behind me, and they didn't. The cavalry just never showed up. But yet we still won by 43 votes on the machines. But you have to remember, a lot of the Democrats, the old-time Democrats who were organization Democrats, didn't vote for me, and there was an absentee ballot campaign launched. And so I lost by 171 votes in that general election. So we fast forward to 2014. And the Democratic Party approaches me, and now I'm the apparent front runner, and they tell me, okay, we're going to support you for mayor, but you can't run with your running mates. We have to pick your running mates. And I told them, absolutely not. I said, either I'll win with my friends or I'll lose with them. So I decided to run again off the line, and knowing that it could be done, we did it. We did it. It was deja vu all over again. We ran off the line again, and we won again. But this time, in 2014, you have to remember, my council seat was up also, so it was do or die. So I had said that I wanted to get out of politics anyway, so it didn't really matter. So if I won, my wife said, what happens if you lose? And I told my wife, I said, well, then you win, because you'll have me home every day. So we won the election in that June. And this time we didn't wait for the cavalry to come rescue us. We just kept campaigning straight through until November. We didn't wait for the Democratic organization to get behind us full force. We kept campaigning. In fact, some of the literature they put out had everybody's name on it. They had my name blacked out. This is how ugly the race had gotten. I mean, the politics of the town had gotten, but somehow we still managed to prevail. And in January of 2015, I became the first African-American mayor of Lynden. But it gets better.
Yes. Okay.
In 2018, they didn't support me again. And we ran off the line again in 2018, and we won again. We got, I think, a 73% of the vote during that election.
Wow. Wow.
That's how we became mayor of Lynden, New Jersey.
So you're up again for election next year?
I'm up again next year.
Okay.
So we'll see what the Democratic organization wants to do. If they want to spend a lot of money again, because God knows they've been spending a lot of money trying to keep me from winning, but somehow we prevail. The interesting thing here is that when I first took office in 2015, we have an 11-member council. Of the 11 members, 10 of them were working against me, and I had only one with me. So we had to continue our campaign. Even though I wasn't up for office, I had to keep running and running candidates until I could achieve the majority. And as we stand today, I have 7, and they have 4. I think there's only one attempt to defeat a candidate of the opposition where we were unsuccessful. So we succeeded every election except for one. And that was because of COVID and people that were voting absentee ballot, and it was just going right down the line with the Democratic organization.
How many citizens do you have in the town of Linden?
Approximately 42,000.
42,000. Okay. All right.
The town is 10 square miles. And 4.5 square miles of it is residential. The rest of it is industrial.
Okay. Well, I go through Linden, New Jersey all the time. I've been through your town for the last, I would say, 20 years. I've been coming through Linden, New Jersey. I know there's an airport there, small airport. I know you have, unfortunately, a couple of cemeteries.
Yes, right through the highway.
Yeah.
Prime real estate.
Yeah. My sister's buried in one, my brother's buried in the other one. So, unfortunately, so I know your town very well.
Both of my grandparents, both sets of grandparents are buried in the cemeteries there.
Okay. So, listen, the Linden Police Department began deploying body armor technology for the use worn by plainclothes officers and uniform officers. Can you tell us about the body armor?
You mean the body cams?
Body cameras, yes.
Yes,
body
yes. Cam. Well, we were, in fact, one of the first cities in the state to deploy the cameras. There was some grant money available, and we decided to take advantage of it. One of the most important things you can have here in these towns is accountability. And I think by putting the body cameras, moving forward with the body cams, I think we were able to just demonstrate that we're willing to show the public that we're such a good force that we don't mind being filmed and having everything on film.
Okay, very good. That's good community relations. You're listening to Reaching Out. We're talking to the mayor of Linden, New Jersey, Derek Armstead. Now, how has that helped deter and convict the body cameras? How does that help deter and convict?
They add, first of all, what it does, if you know you're being filmed and if you're thinking about doing something inappropriate, you know it's going to be filmed. The other side of that coin is that, we have several people sometimes who would complain and make allegations against our police officers that weren't true. So the body cams eliminate all that, okay? So you come to court, you can't say, well, the officer said this or the officer did that, because it's right there on film, And to my disbelief, some people have done it, even though they're being filmed. And, when that footage comes out, it tells the whole story. I mean, there's no, people lie, but film doesn't.
Right. Cameras don't. Right. Okay. So we mentioned the fast food chains have become a hub of employment. What do we mean by that?
Well, if you go to we call it Legacy Square, that would be the old General Motors property. You see that restaurants are coming in there. I'm not going to say it at an alarming rate, at a very pleasant rate. We've got Taco Bell, we've got Panda Express. We got Freddy's frozen custard, frozen custard and burgers. Wawa's coming. We just have all of a sudden it's exploded in that particular development. Fast food they're coming. They want to be there. I mean, when you look at US 1, that highway is heavily traveled. There are thousands of cars that go through there a day, and I think it's an ideal location for fast food, and it's becoming like almost like a food court, if you can put it in some sort of terms.
Now, where is this located? For those who are listening, who are going to travel to New Jersey, go down 1 and 9, which is very popular, and I know I want to get something to eat, and you have almost every fast food chain there. Imagine Where is this hub?
If you come down 109, as soon as you cross over Wood Avenue, cross over Style Street, as soon as you cross over Style Street, you look to your right, and you'll see the Legacy Square, the development. And, you know, we have Walmart there, and we have a number of other stores that are coming in. And again, it was the old General Motors plant that had sat idle for years. And finally, we were able to get a developer to come in, and they're doing a great job there.
Okay, all right. You also have a Sonic's there too, right?
No, I think the Sonic is further down. Sonic is further down on the other side of the highway.
Okay, all right.
Although we'd like them to come. we'll talk that into existence.
Good. So is there any similar effort to increase minimum wage for New Jersey, Linden, New Jersey employees or workers?
Yes, there is. I mean, in fact, just last week, I called in our union representatives and sat down with them. And we've taken our lowest paid employees, who are the men who work on the back of our garbage truck. And I told them, I brought them in. I said, I can't with good conscience watch these men on the back of a truck work for $15 an hour. They work on the hottest days of the year. They work on the coldest days of the year. They handle all kinds of garbage, you know, they smell all kinds of garbage. I said, if I wouldn't put one of my sons in the back of a garbage truck for $15 an hour, I wouldn't expect anybody else to be in the back of a garbage truck for $15 an hour. So we increased their salary to $17 an hour. Those of them who are making 15 are going to go to 17 this year, and then next year they get another dollar. So the lowest paid employee here in town on the back of those trucks will be making $18 an hour, which I think is, and I still don't think that's enough, but we have to work within our budgets and our constraints. But I just can't see where you can expect to get a good day's work out of a person making $15 an hour on the back of one of those trucks.
Wow. And what brought you to this conclusion?
You know, I think the flood had a lot to do with it. When I saw all the garbage out there and these guys were working around the clock trying to remove this debris, and much of it was moldy and smelly. And, you know, again, you know, there were times this summer when it was so hot, I would step out of this office and I felt like I was walking into a sauna. I said, no way these men could be working out in these conditions. And I would call in a DPW and say, send everybody home. We'll have to, if we have to get the garbage a couple days later, we'll get it a couple days later. But I'm not going to have people out there working in these conditions, especially for that little bit of money.
Wow. You know, you might be the most thoughtful mayor in the United States of America. I've never heard of a mayor just taking that much consideration for his employees that he would just say, you know, it's too hot, send everybody home.
Well, I come from very humble beginnings, okay? You know, and I tell everybody, I'm just an ordinary guy who happens to be mayor. Again, I tell everybody, and people say, stop saying this. I said, there's nothing special about me. I'm just an ordinary man who happens to be mayor. And I love my job. And part of being a good mayor is, first of all, if you don't love people, and I think that's what's wrong with politics today. Too many people are getting in for the wrong reasons. If you don't love people, don't even get involved in this business. You know, you shouldn't. If you're here just because you want to advance yourself or promote yourself or do something, then you shouldn't be here. And that's what's wrong with politics today.
You know, that's well said. I had that thought process today. I was saying that about some of the people running for office now, and you summed it up well. If you don't have people's interests in mind, you're trying to promote yourself, you should not be in politics.
You shouldn't. You really have no business here. And that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with the whole world. I mean, it seems like we can't even come to consensus on anything. Republicans and Democrats, if you say potato, I just got to say potato. It's just no way that we can come to a consensus and do things right anymore. And it's very disheartening when you think about it.
Right. Well, there's hope. There's hope in you. You know, I saw something special when I came out to Linden, New Jersey. You were out there. You had your camera. You were filming the event. You were enjoying it with the people. You were walking around. You were dressed like everybody else. And if I didn't know you were up on the stage and I came there saying the mayor has to be here. And I looked and I said, well, he's got to be the mayor because I'm looking. He's up on stage and he's the one that's just filming. And when you came up, I introduced myself and I said who I was. And I told you I wanted to bring you on the show. And you right away gave me your number, and it was just like, you didn't know me from anybody. You didn't know if I was telling you the truth or not. But you said, you know what? I'm going to trust him. I'm going to give him the number, and let's see where it goes.
Well, you know, I especially when it comes time to a little bit of media coverage, I think it's very important. People need to know this story, what happened here in Linden, New Jersey. They need to know this story. You have to understand the kind of resistance that was put forth to keep me from getting here. And I think maybe because of that resistance, maybe I worked that much harder because I think that people were saying, oh, he's going to fail. He's not going to do a good job. But I knew from the very beginning, I had spent enough years on council, and I know the budget, how these towns are run. I know where the money's at. I know where the skeletons are hidden. I knew when I took office, I said, the moment I get a majority on council, I'm going to start lowering taxes. And I take this job very serious. And again, if I have an opportunity to get a little press, I'm going to take it because people need to hear this story. And they need to hear that there's something going on here in Linden where we're lowering taxes. We're in our fifth year of lowering taxes here. I ran candidates for the Board of Education. I have one requirement of them. Just don't raise taxes and I'll support you. Make sure our kids are getting a good education, but don't spend money because you have it. Spend it because you need to spend it, you know? And so we've come in 3 years consecutively with zeros on our Board of Education. I'm on the Lyndon Roosevelt Sewage Authority. And wouldn't you know, guess how many years we come in there? Ever since I'm there, guess what? Zeros, no increases. So we're here to try to prove that, you know, you don't have to raise taxes. Mrs. Johnson and Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Wisnowski, I always cite these names because I know these names from my town. You don't have to tax them out of their homes. Because if it happens to them, it's going to happen to us. You know, there's a story to be told here, and that is you can lower taxes in your towns. The first rule is that you have to want to lower them.
Very good, very good. So, listen, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? What's the future of Linden, New Jersey?
The future of Linden is bright. We've got a number of projects on the books right now. New construction and new development is going on all throughout the residential part of the town. Right near the Northeast Corridor, we have 170 apartments that are near completion. 234 at another one. We have close to 200 in the third building. But we have apartments going up all over town. On St. George Avenue, we did 114 new units, and people are coming in. We've used something called a pilot program, a payment in lieu of taxes, where we put the tax payments on a graduated scale, and it gives the developers an opportunity to make good deals and good contracts with the banks. And so the town is moving forward. We have some other good things on the horizon as well. We have 4.5 million square feet of warehousing under construction right now in one location. And two of the warehouses are complete, with the other two scheduled to be complete next year. And a fifth and final one the following year. But it's going to be the largest warehousing district on the East Coast, 4.5 million square feet of warehousing, with additional warehousing being planned throughout the rest of the town. So we have a company called RNG Energy coming into town. RNG Energy is going to be processing food waste and making it into a natural gas byproduct, and also making like an agricultural product of a compost. So we have a lot of stuff going on in town, and I think Linden is really on the right track. And when this money starts coming, I'm really going to be able to lower taxes.
Wow. So listen, feel free to invite me to anything you have over there, because I'd like to make Linden my second home.
Well,
and I will definitely see you at the next house festival because I had a wonderful time.
Well, are you going to be in Atlantic City this year?
I wasn't planning on it, but there's a convention in Atlantic City?
The annual League of Municipalities convention is every year in November. It was canceled last year, but this year they're going to be back. So,
okay, I'll think about it. So that's all the time we have for Reaching Out, this segment. Our very special guest was the mayor of Linden, New Jersey. Remember that name, Derek Armstead. Thank you very much for coming on Reaching Out.
Gregory, thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.